Let's have a prayer for our time tonight. Lord Jesus, you honor us so much, God, by your love for us and how you care and serve us. You wash our feet all the time. Whenever it's needed, you carry us, you uphold us, you anoint us, you visit us, you speak to us, you comfort us, you love us, Lord. Thank you, God. Please lead us in a deeper walk with you, Lord. Lead us in passion, burning hearts with a baptism of fire in our spirit. Lord, we are living in time. One day we will be face to face with you. We will leave our bodies on the earth and go to heaven, be with the saints and innumerable company of angels and the spirits of just men made perfect. That day is coming for each of us. Lord, lead us, though we go through the valley of the shadow of death. Your rod and you comfort us, Lord. Uphold us, teach us, prepare us, Lord. Keep us from the foolishness of our own hearts and make us servants with a lot of energy, with a lot of love, a lot of faith, a lot of creativity, a lot of care, Lord. Put our hand on the shoulder of a young man and say, I care about you. To knock on a door and say, we care about you. To care about people, because that's who you are, Lord. You care. You are the good shepherd. Thank you. Bless the message in your name. Amen. Would you turn with me to John chapter 21? And I'd like to speak about love tonight, but before, there's two parts to the message. One is a bad part and the other is a good part. Which do you want to hear first? Let's take the bad. There's an illustration. About 200 years ago, one of our well-known encyclopedias discussed the word Adam. This is 200 years ago, with only 4 lines. But 5 pages were devoted to a discussion on love. 200 years later, the same encyclopedia had 5 pages on the word Adam, and the word love was omitted. The encyclopedia said nothing about love. How fast does love leave our hearts, our lives? How easy it is for the world to lose love, and how believers also, who are called to love, many times we can lose it. Because we have a sin nature, and in that sin nature, it's about me. My life is about me. Of course, it's me. I'm first. I'm ultimately the end game and everything in between. We know this because we read it in the Gospels. In this portion, Jesus said, three times to Peter, "Do you love me?" So this is chapter 21, and we'll just read it once. Let's choose verse 16. He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Now, there's much to say in this text with the Greek language and so on, but that would be too long and too arduous to explain. It's not what I want to say. I just want to say that when Jesus met Peter, he did not say something along the lines, "Do you believe in my doctrines?" But he said, "Do you love me?" He didn't say, "Are you excited about what will happen in your future?" Or, "Do you know how privileged you are that I'm talking to you?" But he said something real simple. "Do you love me?" That's the bottom line, isn't it? Do you love me? Do you love in your heart for me? My person, not what I have done, like walking on water or feeding the multitude, but me. Do you love me? That gets lost. That no longer is important. This is important. This is important. These fish are important. Actually, Jesus said that the first time. "Do you love these fish more than me?" This, my house, my job, my family, my wife, my children, my life, my very life. You're destroying my life. My life. You know, that's the message. This is the thought behind what do we want to say tonight? Love. Love gets lost and gets filled with another word, something else that I want to suggest tonight. This is the bad part of the message, and that is judging. Judging. I'll just write it down here. Under it, we have a word, self-righteousness. Self-righteousness, and we can say self. There's a promotion when I judge, or exaltation of myself. I'll put here the word Satan, because I'm convinced that what I want to say tonight is about a message about Satan and his mind, and the message about God and his mind. God and his mind is love. Satan and his mind is judging. And Jesus told us not to judge in Matthew 7:1 and many other verses, James 4:11. Judging the brethren, judging people. It's in our nature. We get a little bit higher when we judge, and we are judging someone else for any number of things. It's in our nature. How we dress, what we say, how we talk, what we look like, what we did, what is in our past, there's so many things about us that we can judge each other. We can judge, "You don't care about me. You offended me. I can't believe you did that." And all these different sentences that we have in the course of a day, where judging is a big part of our soul, and we are judges. When Jesus came, if you look at the cross there and meditate on it, you see love. And he didn't come to judge, but he came to love. And when he talked to Peter, this was important to him. Have you seen Peter? Do you know that I love you? And now I'm asking you, do you love me? Do you know I love you? I love you. It's a night and day. We judge about global warming and politics, and there's issues of race and economical things and education, and there are so many things that we can be so busy judging people. And it's an imperfect world. People are judged. And we might say, well, that's right, because judgment is righteousness. Yes, but when Jesus came to Peter, he didn't come to judge Peter. He wanted the relationship. I want a relationship with you. I could judge you. You denied me 3 times. I could judge you, but I didn't come to judge you. I came to love you. I came to serve you. I came to touch your life. I came as a servant. Now, last night was a great night because maybe 70 people gathered for our June Alive outreach, and I heard different stories. And one elderly black woman came out on her porch, and she said, I was in my house, and I didn't know who you people are, but now I see you are Jesus people. You are Jesus people. Thank you for coming. My grandsons need you. They need your, teach my grandsons. Moody's Sunday school teacher, so this is an interesting story. He was a teenager. He was working in a shoe store in Boston. And he went to a Bible class at a church. And his teacher saw him. And then the teacher went to the store where he was working, hunted up the newcomer, put his hand on Dwight's shoulder. And he said, I'm concerned for you. I'm concerned for you. His lips trembled, and he could say no more. But when he was gone, the boy said to himself, now this is strange. Here's a man who has known me only 2 weeks, and he's concerned about my soul. I guess it's time I was concerned about it myself. He went down in the basement, knelt behind some empty boxes, and gave himself to Christ. It was so easy for this young boy to become a believer. And it was so easy for that teacher to just say a simple sentence that spoke to his heart. And he got saved and became an amazing evangelist. You know, soul winning is misunderstood by Christians. They say 95% of Christians have never led a soul to the Lord. In one of these statistics. But then, God, they don't know, but God uses us. We touch somebody. We sing a song. Oswald Chambers, I think. Charles Spurgeon was practicing testing the acoustics in a big hall, And they say something, and he yelled out, you know, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And there was a guy up in the worker up in the attic who heard it and was converted with one Bible verse. You know, we are in the world, and the issue is not judging people. The issue is love. Love changes people. Somebody said, one of the brothers over here said, Pastor Steve, maybe, "You should stop watching the news and go out and talk to your neighbor. You might gain a lot more by loving your neighbor." But it's a world of judgment, harsh, severe judgment everywhere. The talk on the street is judgment and looking down at people, you know, everywhere. Politicians, government authorities, leaders, it's so common. And unfortunately, it can happen in the church, and it happens in our own hearts. But no, we have to learn love. Learn love. It's not natural. We have to learn. I should ask myself the question, before I judge somebody, have I been a servant? Have I laid down my life? Have I cared for others? Haven't I done the same thing that person has done? Romans 2:1. Wherein I judge myself, for I have done the same thing. And that I would shift to what Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me?" When, you know, Peter's having a hard time answering that, because he isn't yet really baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit. He is a believer, but he hasn't yet found what's going to happen at Pentecost, where that love is like fire, where the Spirit is cleansing and purifying, where the Spirit is not a question about it. The love and devotion that Peter had ended up in his martyrdom when he was hanging, when he was being killed for his faith. Love. It's amazing. But turn to James 4 with me, please. "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Norm Meyer said to me this morning, he said, quoted a verse, he said, Jesus said, "You then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children." Remember that portion? And that caught his spirit. He thought about it. It was like, and it, he shared it with me, and I also loved it too and got it too. You that are evil, you that are such good people, you that give gifts to your children, you that think so highly of yourselves, you that are evil, I'll tell you who you are. You're not good people. You're evil people. And you give good gifts to your children. But could you give like good gifts to your enemy? No, we can't do that. But this is what has happened to us. We have found not like our evil nature has been dealt with by Christ, so that now only by the Spirit filling us, only by Jesus Christ and his mind, are we able to think in a new way, and that is not to judge, but it's to love. And this is written to the church. Look, read it with me again, verse 11. "Speak not evil of one of another, brethren, those are believers. We speak evil one of another by our judging each other. I would love to see a revival in Baltimore City because of oneness that we would all have, all the churches, all of us would have oneness because of the Holy Spirit. I would love to see all of that happening, and I would like to be part of it, and maybe it is happening, but I don't know about it, but I would like to see it or be part of it. I hope it is happening. That would be amazing. If it is, we are in it. We are part of it without knowing it. But sometimes, and even, of course, with ourselves, we could be easily speaking evil of each other. Speaking evil of each other. Speaking evil of the church. Speaking evil of evangelicals. Speaking evil of the faith. Speaking evil of believing. And then the unbeliever who's like judging, then in their self-righteousness, and they judge and they talk and they express themselves, but there is not love there. Matthew 24, in the end times, the love of many will wax cold. Love will disappear out of the encyclopedia. Love will become such a watered-down word that we will no longer really know what it means, that actually we don't know. But the Spirit can teach us what love is and what it means to love. Look at the verse 11, please. It says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Judging. Isn't it funny? I'm going to say something. I hope you understand me. You could have somebody kind of with a folded arms looking down at you and saying something about, you know, a political issue of the hour, maybe something about Corona or global warming or something about business or something, Black Lives Matter or something. And, you know, there's a judgment. There's a judgment. You know, you don't, and you fill in the blank, you know, and you're there like, how do you know what is in my heart? How do you know what I think about it? How do you know? Why are you judging me when you don't know? How do you know what is in my heart? So I put me as the judge. I'm judging another brother. I'm making a judgment on them. And then I have to ask myself the question as a judge, how can I judge? How do I know? How can I judge when I don't know what is in their heart? Have I walked with them? Do I know who they are? Do I know what they are thinking? Am I put in a place of being a judge? So then it says, if I am a judge, then I am in a place of a judge and not a doer. I'm not a doer of the law, but I am a judge of the law. So what does it mean to be a doer? It's Jesus is the doer. What is he doing? He is loving. I'm not judging you. Jesus is talking now. Jesus would say, I'm not judging you. I'm loving you. You're not perfect, but I actually am perfect. But I didn't come into this world to judge you. I came into the world to save you. I came into the world to be a solution. I came into the world to give you wisdom, help you in life. I came to die on a cross so that you could have a changed life. Which one do you want? Are you wanting to be a judge, or do you want to be a doer of the law and love like God loves? Which do you want to do? So that's my message tonight for us to think about. And I believe it could be said so many ways. And reaching children in our neighborhood, Gary Grunwald, Pastor Gary, Pastor Ronaldo, the folks that say that got this June Alive idea. That June Alive idea is beautiful. Because it's not about living in this world to be judges of things. It's in this world to be loving others that need love. They need a word. They need a message. They need a prayer. They need God. They need to believe that life is more than people fighting with each other. I know of a church situation, and there just is like fighting. Like, could you stop your fighting? Could you stop your fighting? Why are you fighting? Why is it in your heart to be a fighter? Why do you have to be right? Why are you so combative? Why are you so angry? Why are you fighting? Why are you fighting? And the answer is in this message. Somebody is a judge, and they're judging. And that judgment comes back on them. And the Lord said, I'm not going to forgive you if you don't forgive them. You're going to stew in the soup. You're going to live in the bed that you have made. You're going to live in the world that you want to live in. If you want to live by law, then you'll be judged by law, and you're as guilty as the people you're judging. But if you could die at the cross and humble yourself and say, I'm not perfect, I'm not right, I don't know what I'm doing, I need to find God in a fresh new way. If we can humble ourselves before the living God, that's an amazing thought. Not before people first, that's important, but before God, to be humble before God and then be spiritual all the days of your life. I'm telling you, it's not hard to be a spirit-filled believer, living refreshed all the days of your life. That's normal Christianity. But what happens so commonly is that we become the judges in life. We become judges in life. And we grieve the Holy Spirit. Actually, it says that, doesn't it? It says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you that judge another? And then, so that's where we'll stop right there. Wow. Couple sentences. Those who love deeply never grow old. They may die of old age, but they die young. The loneliest place in the world is the human heart when love is absent. You take a person and fill them with love, and their whole world is different. They care. They reach out. They think a certain way. They are spirit-filled. They are not judges of old people. Hey, let's think about that. Young people can judge old people. Old people can judge young people. I like this whole mind about young and old people is that I don't judge anybody. That's a great answer. I just want to be a servant. I can be a servant to a young man and live with him, sit where he sits, listen to him, be with him, be patient with him, and we can do it with old people. It doesn't matter. There is no generation gap in the Spirit-filled life. There is love. Where there is love, there is unity. When there is unity, there is a blessing. Wow. Last one. Love is not blind. It sees more, not less. But because it sees more, it is willing to see less. Good word. Let me say it again. Love is not blind. Here's Jesus. He's got a lot of love. He's not blind. But he's willing to see. He sees so much, but he's willing to see less because of that love that covers a multitude of sins. It covers people. It covers people. That's kind of what I'm thinking about with the people that have been shut into their homes and haven't had the human touch and the love and the flow and the spirit. I think that we are made for love. And I would like somebody to love me. I mean, this is the principle. That I would like to love someone with this same love. Wasn't that amazing? Yes, love people blindly, but love is not blind. It just chooses to see less because it doesn't think evil. I remember when Jonathan said to David, David, my father is going to kill you one day. And David is like so like naive about it. And he goes, no, he isn't, you know. Well, the spear slipped out of his hand, the javelin. He's targeting you. He will kill you one day. No, I don't. David did not go to bed at night fearing Saul. He did not go to bed at night suspicious. He did not go to bed at night worried about his future. David had love. Love is what people are needing. Love is what changes. Love is what moves us in our ministry, moves us in our life. And to Lou and Miriam Kallenbeck, 64 years of marriage, 84 years old, alive and kicking and doing real well and saying that love, that is what we learned from God. Love. Amen. Lord Jesus, if you could talk to us now, maybe you would say to us, do you love me? And many, many in this room would say in our hearts, yes, but we'd love to love you more. Yes, we love you. You alone, everything you are, your way of thinking, your life, how you live, you laid down your life. You came not to judge, but you came to serve. We love you. We love you. You care for us. Everyone in this room, he cares for you more than you could ever imagine. He will carry your burden, forgive you of all your sin all the time. Never fail you, never forsake you, not judging you, but loving you. And the ministry that he has put in every heart here is the same spirit and the same mind. We are living in a world that is filled with judging, but we are hungry for a world of love. And that's why we're here tonight. Teach us that. Fill us. And then may we touch these neighborhoods, Bel Air, Edison, and other places this summer, this June, with just faith and go because of love and pray for it because of love and go to bed at night in our hearts with people in our hearts because of love. And when we meet each other, we would not be judges. We would be people of love. and wisdom and faith. And then anyone hearing my voice tonight that is not a believer, please come to Jesus tonight as you are. And say to Jesus Christ, I believe in you. I need you. Please save me. You are the creator of the universe, the comforter, the teacher, the guide. You are my savior. There is no other. There's no religion. There's no man on earth. There's nobody that could ever save me but you. Save me in Jesus' name. We pray. And then for our church returning to be inside, Lord, please cover us and heal people of this thing. Also give us your wisdom and mind in our outreach and our care for people. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Give us the way to reach people with this message of love. God loves you. God loves you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Did anybody accept Jesus tonight? Anyone? Raise your hand. Anyone? We'll give you a free Bible, talk to you, counsel you. Would you stand with me now, please?